Go to, if you would please, Romans chapter 13 again. For those of you that haven't been here, I really believe the Lord laid on my heart, and my desire is just to stir us for the Savior. Started preaching a series last Sunday, and it's going to be a short series. I'll have one or two messages on this. Next Sunday, Lord willing, I plan on preaching what are God's priorities in our lives. But the fact that time is running out. By the way, I'd like to encourage you to do something. I read something in the newspaper just yesterday. I think it was in the newspaper. No, it was on Drudge Report. I take that back. There was a pastor that was threatened because he said, I'm going to vote along biblical principles, and that he's been getting even death threats. So I clicked on that, and they said, a Sacramento pastor. So I started reading that, and it's Pastor Godot over at Calvary Christian Center. I'm going to call him tomorrow. I'm going to call the church there and say, I'm praying for you, and I'm thankful that you're standing for biblical principle. Folks, it's Bible, period. It's our desire, because we believe that abortion is murder. We believe that marriage is between a man and a woman. Why? Because the Bible says so. Oh, you hate. No, I don't hate. In fact, I preach that God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son. By the way, it's not just in this area, honey. In fact, I even failed to mention this to you. No, maybe I did tell you. There's a village of Messianic Jews in Israel. The gentleman that was our guide, he lives there. There's about 120 Messianic Jews that live in this place called Yad Hashmona. It's beautiful. They have a biblical gardens there. It is wonderful. And just great facilities. We stayed there for 3 nights when we were there, our whole tour group. Had a great time. And I happened to catch something on WorldNet Daily last night or this morning. As I'm just catching up on the news real quick, that a group in Israel has been sued. And I clicked on that, Christian Jews, and sure enough, it was Yad Hashmona. They're being sued for $20,000 American dollars by a lesbian couple because they refused to allow them to be married, quote-unquote, on their property. And it was done by design. There is no accident here. And so when people heard about that, now they're getting all kinds of people requesting to be married there, homosexual couples, because they want to pile on and either shut them down, run them out of town, do whatever. You see, folks, we're running out of time. And like the Scripture says in verse 12 of Romans 13, the night is far spent, the day is at hand. If there is one thing that God's people ought to do, and I hope and pray that you know Christ as Savior, but if there's one thing that God's people ought to do, it ought to be this. Let us therefore cast off the works of darkness, and let us put on the armor of light. Let's lay aside the weights and the besetting sins, like the Scripture says. Let's be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Now, 2 weeks ago, when Tim Schmidt preached here, and I mentioned this last week, he went, go ahead if you want to, take your Bibles and go to Ephesians 4, and verse 11, Ephesians 4 and verse 11, this was in Tim Schmidt's message. First of all, he gave us who? And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. That's who. God is interested in what goes on with His people. Those that are born again, bought by the blood of the Lamb, they've trusted Christ as Savior. He gave some. And these are four that are listed here. Why? For the perfecting, the maturing of the saints. For the work of the ministry. Now, we'll catch this later on. But you and I are here to do something. You open your Bible, you will see something. You will hear something. I pray you will do something. It's needed. Where? In other words, there is a destiny. Look at verse 13. Till we all come into the unity of the faith. And we were talking about this at the men's prayer breakfast yesterday morning. And I want to encourage you men, first Saturday of the month, 8 o'clock in the morning, if but for anything else, come for the donuts. You know, I'm looking forward to a time where we get to heaven and the best things up in heaven are really sweet. Either that or we won't remember what an apple fritter tastes like. I don't know. But here's what we were talking about was this. Our unity doesn't come in the lowest common denominator of people. Christ is the prize. Christ is the goal. That's where our unity is. And then what? Verse 14. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. I call this the Gilligan syndrome. How many of you were Gilligan fans before? Anybody here, you don't know who Gilligan is now. It's just that far back. Remember Gilligan? You know, the professor's right. Mr. Howell's right. You know, Ginger's right. Whoever's talking, they're right. The Word of God is right. So we don't need people, we don't need God's people tossed about with every wind of doctrine. Well, that sounds good. That sounds good. The Bible interprets itself. Get into the Word of God. You may wonder at times what God is up to in your life. By the way, I praise God. Dennis Fogle and his wife are here. We've got a group over here, a glory in that. Dennis was a good friend of my dad's when he was alive. And I remember being down there in Canoga Park. You've come a long way, haven't you, brother? You ever sometimes wonder, what's God up to in my life? Yeah. You ever been there? What's God up to in my life? You know what? He's up to some wonderful things. How do I know that? Because all things work together for good to them that love God. To them who are the called according to His purpose. Boy, I hear people using that verse a lot. Praise God, it's a wonderful verse to use. But there might be times when you wonder, you know, there might be bitterness in your life. You know, if God really loved me, why does He let certain situations take place? I just heard about a gentleman, a Christian, that lost his job. Lord, why? I know of people that have been looking for work. Lord, why? Didn't you say that You will supply all our need? Yes, He did. Will He do that? Yes, He will. How will He do that? Sometimes it's up to the last minute. And by the way, there are times now especially the church needs to look inward within itself and say, you know what? We might wind up having a situation where it's a whole lot like the book of Acts. There we go. Who said come on? All right, praise God. You preach it. Let's go. All right. Then there's from the bitterness there winds up being anxiety. You know, Lord, do You really, really love me? There are some that if these kind of situations take place, bitterness and anxiety, there's a choice to make. Either I'm going to follow the Lord, or you know what? I'm just going to play the game. So there winds up being apathy, lethargy. I don't know what it would... You know, there are times you wind up feeling like Jeremiah. Jeremiah wanted to become a Motel 6 manager. Read it. It's in the Scripture. He wanted to be carried off someplace and just take care of, you know, of people, you know, wayfaring people. I've told a couple of people, I'm waiting for God to call me to the great unpopulated areas of the Northwest. Think about that, what I just said. That's all right. But then there are those that say, you know what? I'm going to make Him my confidence. Why? Okay, this is what He's doing. Again, like we saw in Ephesians, He's taken us into the promised land. The promised land is not a picture of heaven in the Scripture. Remember, we saw this. The promised land is coming in and claiming the promises of God. And again, why do we need to do this? Because our salvation is nearer than when we believed. Like, you know, many of you know, I just had a birthday. Praise God, I'm 37 years old. And if you believe that, I have all kinds of stuff I want to sell you. I'm 38. But anyway, you know, the fact of the matter is, you know, I'm seeing a lot more in the rearview mirror now than in looking ahead. And I don't know when it's going to be. And by the way, you don't either. But I implore you as a child of God, do not take lightly standing before God. In fact, if there is a lethargic attitude of, yeah, I'm going to stand before the Lord, but He'll let me in. Well, why? Well, I asked Jesus into my heart. You became a new creature in Christ. You have the Holy Spirit now. The Holy Spirit is seeking to speak to you. And so when you open up the Word, you'll see something. And then you'll, what? No. You'll see something, you hear something, and then, by God's grace, you... Right. Our view of God comes from His Word. His Word tells us in Psalm 138:8, "The Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. Thy mercy, O Lord, endureth forever. Forsake not the work of thy hands." You are, Marlene calls this potter's clay, the little booklet that she puts out. You are clay in the potter's hand. He's working on you. Now, you might not like it at times. I get uncomfortable with it as well. But you know, there's nobody that loves you like Jesus does. We sing that song, "No one ever cared for me like Jesus." And it's the truth. We are His workmanship, He said in Ephesians 2:10, created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Now that's right after verses 8 and 9 that tell us, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." Praise God. We don't get into heaven by our works. But when you trust Christ, apart from your works, when you trust Him for your salvation, you become His work. And He is working on you. That is the Scripture. He performs all things for us, the book of Psalms says. Philippians 1:6, "Being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ." It's going to go on until you stand before Him. So, question, if we're running out of time, what do we do? What is it? I'm getting there. But I want to remind us of some things. Once again, Romans 8:28, there ought to be a confidence in us because of that. That all things do work together for good. For who? To them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. If you're a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, all things work together for your good. Even the flat tires. I mean, I got a phone call from my mom this morning. This has been gut-wrenching. I got to admit, my mom is clear across on the other side of the United States. Because of situations, my mom lives with my sister and my brother-in-law. I won't go into the details. They lost the house. And they tried to get a hold again and again, over 30 times, this one person that would never get back to them. And now what has happened? They finally talked to this guy and said, "Why are we losing the house?" "Well, you never got all your work done." "We tried to get the work done." But they're losing it now. What do you say? You know what? All things work together for good. It's only a house. It's brick and mortar and wood. And you know what? God knows the end from the beginning. And there will be a time, there might be a time, that somebody comes to our doors and says, "We want a lesbian wedding here." "Well, we're not going to do that." Lawsuit. It could never happen. Do you realize how many things are happening in the state of California right now that some people thought that'll never happen? It can happen. This last Wednesday, we began to look. I want you to turn to this. Go to Psalm 34. I love this psalm. We've been going over the blessed man. Blessed is the man whose sin is forgiven. Blessed is the man now whose trust is in the Lord. I love this psalm. Look at Psalm 34. He writes, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. I sought the Lord, and He heard me. Now, isn't this great? He heard something, and He did something, and delivered me from all my fears. You know, our God is not static. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear Him and delivereth them. I love this verse. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. That's what we're parking on. There are Christians that have tasted and they've seen that the Lord was good for salvation. They know they're born again. But you know, sometimes we grow cold, don't we, Edgar? Sometimes we wind up getting away. And all of a sudden, there's times that we think, is God really good for all these promises? Yes, He is. Even faith promise? Yes, He is. We've said time and again, God's economy is not tied to the White House or to Wall Street. He's not. I loved having Doug Fisher here. When he preached on this, I think it was Monday night when he was here. No, Tuesday night. That they actually pray for people in their church to get advancement in their job. Why? So they can give more to missions. Folks, look at the flags around here. You know why they're here? Because people surrendered. They say, I trust God. The reason why they fly in this building is because there are people here that have said, I trust God to supply my need so I can make sure that there are missionaries in China. In Cambodia. Was I supposed to point at that flag? Okay. In Cambodia. In Brazil. All these other places, and by the way, if you look a little deeper and you see the cinder block behind, that's the wall behind the flag, that cinder block is there because why? People gave. Oh, you're all about money. No, I'm all about Jesus. And my Jesus tells me about forgetting those things back here. You're looking under a new world. I will give. I'll supply. I'll do it. So what do we need to do? Well, we need to make some changes. It's time for a change. I want you to notice, first of all, it's a time for change in our practice. There's some people that think, you know, okay, what is it that I do? You know, preacher, you keep talking about this. Tell me what to do. All right, I'm going to tell you what to do. First of all, there's something that you can do, and it's simple. This will grow you. This will grow you. First of all, in your practice, make a prayer list. Make a prayer list. What is it? Who is it that you're praying for? How many of you have somebody that you pray for regularly? Raise your hand. Okay, praise God. Excellent. Let me ask you, does prayer work?
Amen.
Are you sure? It really works. You know what I feel bad for? Is when there are folks that get to the point where they really wonder if it works. The fact of the matter is, prayer does work. We've seen it time and again. Make a prayer list. And if you doubt that prayer works, make a prayer list. And do one of the two things. Either prove God's a liar, or prove that you didn't believe Him. But make a prayer list. Go to Him. What is it that God tells us after this? Christ, when He said this in Matthew 6, after this manner therefore pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. You know one of the reasons He wants us to pray? We're going to recognize who He is. He's not the man upstairs. He's not Big Daddy. He's God. He's God. Then He says, this is how you pray. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done. You know what I'm finding out? Mike's will isn't worth a whole lot. But God's will is wonderful. It's exactly what He says. Number one, make a prayer list. Number two, make a praise list. Make a praise list. How many of you got something you're praising God for this morning? Raise your hand. All right, amen? You know, there's some stuff. Boy, we got some people praising over here. Glory! Put you on shouting ground. Listen. You got something to praise for? Praise God for? Write it down. Write it down. How many of you are glad you're still breathing? You see, and maybe the reason why we don't think we've got a lot to praise for is because we don't have the prayer list. You know what? I still praise God for that flag. Is she having trouble? You bet. But you know something? It's God that's on the throne. No matter what happens on Tuesday, I'll guarantee you this. God's will be done. There's people cheating and there's this and that. Listen, God's will be done. I praise God for the country. I praise God for the gospel I get to preach in this country. Why is it that we sometimes forget that? We've got brothers and sisters in Christ that are talking like this while they're worshiping. You know why they're talking like this? Because there's people they don't want them to hear who they're praising. What? Don't they have courage? What would you and I do when we were in a situation where we could get run out of town? Did you read what's happening? Now, I don't know if these are truly born-again people, but they claim to be Christians. Did you read what was happening in Syria? The jihadists, or whatever they are, have moved their place of operation in Syria into a Christian community. Why? So the bombs will go off there. There is a Christian neighborhood that has been there for 2,000 years. The people are having to be run out of town now because they're getting bombed. There's threat against them when it comes to their children and stuff. We still have freedom. I praise God for that. I praise God I was able to get up this morning. I praise God I got an extra hour's sleep. And I'm probably looking at some people, you just decided to stay up an extra hour because you had that. I don't know. Make a praise list. Psalm 107, verse 8. David wrote, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord for His what? His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men." David said in Psalm 28, verse 7, "The Lord is my strength and my shield. My heart trusted in Him. I am helped. Therefore my heart greatly rejoiceth, and with my song will I praise Him." He's worthy of our praise. Listen, not only this, make a prayer list, make a praise list. Number three, get into the Word. Get into the Word. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Well, my faith is just weak. I'll guarantee you, your faith is weak because you haven't been in this book like you need to be. What do you mean I have devotions every morning? You know something? There's times we need to get on our knees, open up the book and say, "God, I need something." And I mean, I need it right now. I need it. I need You, Lord. I need. And get into it. Get into it. Get into the Word. Write this down. Come on, get out your crayons, your pencils, whatever you got. I want you to write four things down. This is not in our outline here. Years ago, Walter Fremont taught this. It's called the 4M method. You want to know how to get into the book? Go to Psalm 119. Just take your Bible, go to Psalm 119. Get out your pen, pencil, write this somewhere. Here's 4 M's that you need to do. Come on, you're looking for answers? You got answers. You got it. Number one, Psalm 119, number one, mark it. Look at verse 9. Wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. You want to know how to deal with temptation? Get into the word, find it, highlight it, mark it. Get to know it. Second M, memorize it. Verse 11, thy word have I hid in mine heart that I might not sin against thee. Listen to me, listen to me, listen to me. There is not one Christian I know, not one, zip, zero, nada, not one Christian I know that struggles in the word of, that struggles in their Christian life that's been heavy into the word of God. There are people, they might look like they're heavy into it, but the fact of the matter is, they're not. And that's why there's times that pastors will fall. They're going on last year's blessings. That's not what we want. We want fresh oil, what the Bible says. Hey, listen, memorize it. And then look at verse 15. I will meditate in thy precepts and have respect unto thy ways. Number three, meditate on it. Come on, folks. I'm giving you the answers here. What am I supposed to do? You get into prayer, you get into praise, you get into the Word of God, you're going to find the answers. Don't just be a one-hour Christian. 11 o'clock, Sunday morning, I'm here. Praise God, I'm glad you're here. But take Jesus with you. And number four, master it. Look at verse 17. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word. Memorize it, meditate on it, mark it, memorize it, meditate on it, master it. Verses 9, 11, 15, 17. Boom! It works. You know how I know it works? Two reasons. Number one, God said it. Number two, I found that God was not a liar. He keeps His word, folks. He keeps it. It will change your life. So, make a prayer list. Make a praise list. Get into the word. And then number four, get into the work. Come on, get into the work. Toughest thing. 1 Samuel 12:24. Only fear the Lord and serve Him in truth with all your heart. Why? For consider how great things He hath done for you. You know what the Christian life is? It's just that. It's Christian life. Life moves. It's not just... That's not it. Life does something. He's told us to. Every Christian has been given a gift. Every Christian. And I'm not talking about salvation. Every one of us who are born again have a Holy Spirit-empowered gift to use in the local church. Steve Tillery. Where's Steve? Where are you? There he is. Last Sunday night, used a lot of Scripture. That was great. Praise God. One of the passages, Romans 12, verse 5. So we, being many, are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Having then gifts, differing according to the grace that is given to us, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith, or ministry, let us wait on our ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching, or he that exhorteth on exhortation. He that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. Is giving a gift? You bet. There are some people that can really give. He that ruleth with diligence, he that showeth mercy with cheerfulness. Now catch that. How sad it is to see a Christian, somebody that's truly born again, come into a church and go, well, what can you do for me? Wait a minute, back the truck up. If God has brought you here, what has God instructed you to do? What is your gift? There are some people, I love it, it's very plain what their gift is. And by the way, one of the gifts is not the gift of gab. The problem is there are some people that, I kid you not, I know of a pastor, a man came to him and said, I have been given the gift of criticism. I critique the pastor. There's a Greek word for that. Ungodly. Now come on. But the thing is, I'm looking at people right here, right now. Everybody has a gift. Everyone. But you know, like we talked about last week, sometimes we wind up being like that static display. You know, the airplane. Here we are. I loved it. We'd see, Ed, you took some of the kids over here at the museum. And they got to see all these airplanes that used to fly, but now they're on static display. So they could get in the cockpit. You know, things have been removed and stuff. But could you imagine having an entire Air Force grounded, static display, looking good, while the enemy is advancing on our nation? Now, the enemy is advancing, folks. It's called a spiritual warfare. Yeah, but you know what I do, what I would do, it's really not all that big. I've got news for you. Everything is big if God ordains it. This is your body talking to you. Excuse me. You know, the foot has said it wants to quit. All you do is cover it with leather. So it's going to go numb and quit. How many of you would like to try to run a marathon with a foot saying that? Now, it sounds silly. It sounds silly, I understand that. But my whole body is needed. And that's true, I've lost a couple of things, you know, inside. But for those of you that don't know, I'm minus one kidney and minus a gallbladder. I'm hoping that that's all I'm going to lose now. See, it's just, I want to keep everything else. But the point is, we're the body of Christ. Every member is vital. I am convinced, we've talked about this before in deacons meeting, we're convinced the people that are needed to do the ministry of God are here. But sometimes it's like, well, I don't know though, you know, I don't think I can. No. The little engine said, yes I can, but we do it not because the thing, you know, the engine is saying, you know, yes I can, or whatever that thing was, but it's by Christ I can, by Christ I can. Not only get into the Word, get into the work, but get into the heart of God. Get into the heart of God. Listen, we're told this for a reason. And ye shall seek me and find me, Jeremiah 29:13, when ye shall search for me with all your heart. All means all. That means when you get down and you have no place else to go, God says you can find me. Sometimes it takes great humility. And again, when God tries to get us into that place of humility, we can either do one of two things. We can either turn this way and go bitter and angry and apathetic, or we can trust God that no matter how bad the situation is, I'm going to do what's right. And He really did say Romans 8:28. He really did say it. Get after the heart of God. In Isaiah 66, He said, but to this man will I look, even to him that is of a poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. It's time, folks, to have a change in our practice. It's also time to have a change in our priorities. We need to live each day with His commands at heart. His commands. And His commands are obvious in the Scripture. Commands that we ought to prioritize. And we'll be talking more about this next week. But the command, first of all, to forgive. To forgive. Matthew 6:12, the Lord taught us, again, in what's typically called the Lord's Prayer, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. By the way, He goes on to say, folks, if we don't forgive those who have wronged us, He's not going to forgive us. Now, if that doesn't strike the fear of God in our hearts, I don't know what it's going to take. But we've got to forgive. Peter came to Him in Matthew 18 and said, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me? And I forgive him. Till seven times? Jesus said, no. Until 70 times seven. In other words, it's open-ended. Well, that hurts. Yeah, it does. It's a rotten world, isn't it? This sin. But you know what? God can give us the strength. I just finished the book of Mark this morning in my devotions. It was amazing to be there where Christ was smitten. His beard was plucked out. He was slapped. Prophesy unto us. He was put on the cross. Ha ha! You said you could raise up the temple in 3 days. You come down. We'll believe you if you come down. No. No. You know what he said? Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Forgive. We're commanded, we need to have in our priorities to love. John 15:12. This is my commandment, that ye love one another as I have loved you. He went on to say, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one toward another. Now look, some people are hard to love. I might be one of them. You might be one of them too. I've made a habit now. I try as much as I can when I'm in my truck or in the car and going someplace. I'll look at somebody that maybe is, some people would consider a reject from humanity, and think, God loves them as much as He loves me. Isn't that something? Isn't that something, Dennis? You know that He loves us. And Christ turned and said, by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, that you have love one toward another. Our priority ought to be to forgive. Forgive one another. Forgive those who wrong us. Number two, to love. In fact, Christ said, love your enemies, bless them that curse you. And there are more and more people that are cursing us. But we love them. Boy, I don't think I can do that. I know I can't. But God can. And He can do it through me. Not only that, but to trust. Psalm 40, verse 4. Blessed is the man that maketh the Lord his trust. Not government. We worship God, not gov. To rest in Him. Hebrews 4, 9. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. Listen to this. For he that has entered into his rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from His. Let me ask you, why did God rest from His works when He created? You know why? Because His work was complete. His work was complete. When we come into Christ, the work of salvation is complete. We now live out what God has given us. My gift is not of me. It's of Him. Your gift, all that you have in Christ, is not of you, it's of Him. The work is complete. Now, He says, let us work out our own salvation. That's not saying, well, you've got work to do. You know, the Bible doesn't say, we don't sing, you know, Jesus paid it half to Him I owe. That's not it. Jesus paid it all to Him I owe. But it's in His power. Rest in Him. Our priorities ought to be also of holiness. Romans 12:1, I beseech you therefore by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. It's reasonable to serve God. Why? Because again, He did so much for us. Of righteousness, 1 Corinthians 15:34, awake to righteousness and sin not. For some have not the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. This is it, folks. Today's the day. This is it for Faith Promise. Now, we've got to decide what our priorities are. We've got to decide. Starbucks, Cambodia. Cheeseburger, Brazil. Missionaries. See? Dining out every other day, or dining out twice a week and sending so people in West Africa can hear the gospel. We've got choices to make. And I know there are some people, and I feel bad in this. I'm not sure, but this is the way it's worked out for the last several years. We find that people will give in Faith Promise, but they won't sign the thing. And you don't put your name on it anyway. Because I don't know, maybe they're thinking if I don't send it in, and I have to quit in July, well, see, I haven't really broken a vow to God. You know, it's amazing what we trust God for in our salvation. When you go to be with Him, when you walk through death's door, There are no handrails to hold on to. There's no footpath. You go into completely into the spiritual. You're trusting God for that. If I can trust God to have me ushered into heaven, into His presence when I die, I can trust God for a few dollars each week so that the missions can go on around the world. As we've got in the sign back there, the sun never sets on a missions-loving church. I hope and pray that the sun never sets on this church. Last week, we had two pulpits up here, one on this side, one on this side. Both of them, pastors used to fill. But now those churches are closed. Friday night. I am absolutely convinced. Go ahead and bring me up on this. I'm absolutely convinced that Satan, when he doesn't want something to be said, there is a demon that's called the sound system demon. And he gets into the sound system. Are we back on? Okay. Friday night, I got to talk to one of the pastors and his wife of one of the churches. He left the church a long time ago. It's the pulpit that David Welch uses when he's teaching and preaching over here in Fellowship Hall. It was sitting right here. I got to talk to him, and I told him he hadn't heard that the church had closed. His wife began to weep. You know, it's hard when that happens. When a work closes down. I don't know why God allows that. I honestly don't know. But I just know this. I don't ever want to see it happen here. It breaks my heart when I drive places and I see church buildings that used to be churches. They closed down and now they're a Sheikh temple or a Sikh temple or something like that. The gospel of Jesus Christ used to go out there. And it's not because the people went and got another building. They just closed it down. We need to awake to righteousness. And then of witness. Remember the one that was possessed of the devil in Mark chapter 5. Again, I just read this recently. Jesus suffered him not to go with him, but he said this, "Go home to thy friends and tell them how great things the Lord hath done for thee and hath had compassion on thee." Has God had compassion on you? Has He done what's right? Can you say glory? Why? Because He had compassion. Because He loved you. This is what He told this man to go and say. Do we have the same message? Yes, we do. And He said this in Acts 1:8. "But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the othermost parts of the earth." We've got a place there, right there where Brad is sitting. There are tracts and invitations to our church. That's where we go to our Jerusalem. The uttermost part of the earth is right here, and everything in between. We want to see God's work go out. Listen, it's time for a change in our priorities, but then lastly, it's time for a change in our poise. By that I mean our confidence. What is your confidence in? Now listen to me. Please listen to this. Is your confidence in fate? In other words, whatever the day brings, that's just the way it is. Is your confidence in fate? Or is your confidence in God? Is your confidence in you? Or is it in your Savior? We need this, a change in our poise. To keep ourselves is what we need to do, to understand that this is what Christ does. When we vote this Tuesday, like I said, God's will be done. We just went to this, Psalm 118. A few weeks ago. It's the middle verse in the Bible. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in man. It is better to trust in the Lord than to put confidence in princes. I love the book of Jude. There's a benediction at the end of the book of Jude. "Now unto him that is able," listen to this, Now unto Him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of His glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Well, my God, He couldn't keep me. Do you have my Savior? Now, again, I'm not berating anybody. I'm just saying this. If we trust Him, this is what He will do for us. There needs to be a change. Not just in our practice, not just in our priorities, but in our confidence, in our poise. He can keep us. Not only can He do that, He can supply our needs. Amen. Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Now listen, all of you have, I'm sorry, we're still on this, aren't we? All of you have that yellow page. I know what it's like to step out in faith. But I'm asking you to do this. Could you trust God? Now don't raise your hand. Could you trust God for $20 a month? Could you trust God for $40 a month? Do you know that if everybody in this church trusted God for just a little bit, $5 a week is not much, $10 a week is not much. I've seen some people in this church devour cheeseburgers that were almost $10 in a meal. I won't tell who. But the point is this. What about if we trust God? Are you glad you're saved?
Amen.
Wouldn't it be great to see other people the same way? You love the letter from Cambodia. Listen to what's happening there. Let's not be static. Will He supply the needs? He's promised it. I just don't know. I'm having a tough time. Number three, to supply His grace. 2 Corinthians 9:8, and God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. He went on to tell Paul, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness, your weakness. I was sharing with the men in men's prayer breakfast yesterday morning. I was thinking about this. Daniel. I want to develop a message on this and preach it to teenagers because we believe that Daniel was a teenager at this time. You know, Daniel, the Bible says in Daniel 1:8, he purposed in his heart. He was in a strange country. He was in a hostile environment when it came to his Jewishness. I don't know how many of those were of his peers, you know, what their attitude was. But we do know this. Daniel purposed in his heart. Doesn't matter what anybody else does. I'm going to do what's right. Now, that's great faith. But you know what we do? We wind up taking somebody like Daniel and putting him up on this big pedestal. I've got news for you. He put his robe on one leg at a time like we do. Elijah did the same thing. We're told that at the end of the book of James. These people, what makes them apart from us is this. They trusted God. They knew what was right. Daniel saw something. When he was taught the law, he heard something. And so he did something. What can we trust God for? Let me ask you. It says Daniel purposed in his heart. What are your purposes? I pray that God's people here keep trusting Him. I so rejoice in those that give. And those of you that maybe hesitate at it, take God at His word. I don't want to go into these days halting and wobbling and hobbling because I didn't allow my faith to be tested and grow. I didn't want God to do that work, so I resisted the Spirit. I don't want that to happen. I don't want to see people in this church have that happen to them. So let me ask you, What are you willing to trust God for in any part of your life? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, that you, Lord, you are working. So often I say that you would work, but you're working. I just pray that we would all understand that. I pray that there would be nobody here that would be resisting your Spirit. With heads bowed and eyes closed, no one looking about. This is a time.